There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living, the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katsoulimidis. I write the Cats Report and the Las Vegas Sun print edition, lasvegassun.com. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, our news magazine that comes out on The Sunday, except when it comes out on
The Saturday.
And I write for Vegas Magazine. Joining me, as always, as customary, is Tricia McCrone, lovely co-host. Trish?
I love that I just get to be a part of your intro.
I stopped that kind of naturally, wasn't that?
Yeah, it was
clever.
Kind of like you psychically knew. Really, I mean, we didn't plan it. People are going to think that we're now joking. No, we really didn't plan it.
We did not plan it.
It was organic.
Planning would have required some thought.
Yes, and Katz, you were really hoping that as this airs, I will have discovered that I have another pen. when the Sahara closed quite a few years ago.
This is all going to make sense.
Yes, I'm going to now do the little ties that would make this make sense.
So the Sahara closes in May of 2011.
Yes, and so Katz says we have a big group that's going to go over and we are going to order the last round at the...
The Casbar Bar.
The Casbar
Lounge Bar. That's the bar outside of the Casbar Lounge at the Old Sahara.
And I think most of us ordered Shirley Temples.
Some didn't. But we had a group of people there, and we put together, including a couple of photographers, and we closed that bar, and that was the last order.
And we also were the last blackjack deal, too.
Yeah, and that was true.
We all kept our chips and everything. Yeah,
I actually gave one of those chips to Jerry Lewis. Yeah. He was really impressed that I had it.
Mine are somewhere in a purse.
Yeah,
I've
given them all away.
So anyway, so I, you know, am heavily involved in that I have lupus with Lupus LA.
Right.
And so I had this LA Lupus or Lupus LA, however it's written on the pen. I've had it's kind of like my lucky pen, and I had it in my purse that night. And Katz, you know, the crack reporter that he is, that always has, he really does. He always has like mints and his notebook and pen and everything. He cannot find his pen.
I had it. It was, I think, in my room. Anyway, it was lacking a pen.
So I said, well, you can have my magic pen, but you must give it back to me. And he says, of course. The golden pen. And so it somehow gets... misplaced. It was probably.
It's
probably being sold on eBay right now as
part of. Left behind at the Sahara and was closed down along with the hotel. And I think the last interview done with that pen, conducted with that pen, was with Sam Nazarian, because I talked to him after that. I saw him.
So it was kind of a famous pen. And
so maybe
the sad thing is that Katz is constantly reminded of is that a picture made it on the Sun of us, all of us there, you know, doing this iconic thing with the...
photo.
Yeah, we're all in the photo, all of us that kind of celebrated the end of the Sahara.
There are a couple photos. There's a group photo, and then there's a photo of just us, and you can really see the pen. It's white and orange.
And Katz is holding the pen. So it's kind of like he has this reminder that he was the last one to have possession of it. He has tried to buy this pen, tried to everything, and it just so happens last year... Here at the LA Lupus Ladies Bag Luncheon, I got another pen and I had to tweet it. And I do still have that pen, but just in
case,
do
not lend me that pen.
I'm going to get back up because as this show airs, I will have gone to the Ladies Bag Luncheon, which last year they honored my dear friend Kelly Stone, our friend Kelly Stone, and her sister Sharon Stone and their mom Dot Stone. And Tony Braxton is on the board. Adam Selkowitz, our dear friend. So we have a big, my sister is always. Very involved in this, Kathleen Newton. So my mom, my sister, and I are going to the Ladies Bag Luncheon, and it raises thousands upon thousands of dollars for lupus. And women celebrities donate handbags, and we all bid on them.
Right.
It's like a frenzy.
And now, then these are personal handbags, right? They have used.
Yeah.
They've been in play in their life.
Yeah, they've been in play, and they're famous. Like Wayne, Sharon Stone bid and bought one of Wayne's briefcases years ago.
Okay.
So it's kind of, and some of them are bags and stuff. And so they are, but it's kind of, it's cool. And no matter what, I mean, it raises a lot of money.
That's an interesting
for lupus. And then there's a Roberto Cavalli fashion show that's going to happen as well. So it's a really fun day. And so, you know, any awareness that gets out there to lupus is great. And all Katz is really worried about is that I come home with at least one pen. I may even get a second pen and give it to him just so he has one.
Are they always orange?
Yeah, orange is our thing. Orange is our color. It's the color of lupus. And, you know, butterflies are our symbol, which is why I'm always wearing a butterfly. But, you know, I'm actually very, very excited about today's show. Because for once, I get to put you in the hot seat.
Yeah.
because, I mean, let's be honest, you are always interviewed. That's your life. I mean, I just kind of do this for fun, get to talk to cool people. But you, your livelihood is you interview people and kind of put them in the hot seat. And I'm going to turn the tables on you a little bit. There's so much of you, obviously, from his intro, you know, he writes for so much that we don't have enough time to really talk about everything he writes about in the small amount of time that we have for a show. But you've got a lot, you've had a lot of big stories, a lot of big interviews lately, and we haven't had time to really discuss them. So I am going to talk to you about what's been happening on the Katz Report.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about that. And yeah, it's been a very busy, stretch here for us in Las Vegas, so I'm you know, happy to talk about what we've been covering, what we've been writing about, and we'll do that next. But first, Josh Bell with movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
Yeah! Hi, this is Gladys Knight, and you're listening to with the dish.
I never wanted any of this. I never wanted to be in the games. I just wanted to save my sister and keep PETA alive.
That's Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The third movie in the Hunger Games series adapts the first part of Suzanne Collins' final novel, which means that certain plot elements get padded out unnecessarily. After enduring the title's Tournament of Death twice now, headstrong teenager Katniss has moved on to fighting directly against the government in her totalitarian future world.
You're all from the Capitol? Plutarch got you out?
Don't expect much chit-chat from him. Capitol cut his tongue out years ago.
Mockingjay may lack the action and excitement of the previous two movies in the series, but it makes up for it in greater emotional and thematic resonance and sets the stage for a more satisfying finale. I give The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 3 stars out of 5. Mockingjay is the only major movie opening this week, but there are other strong options still in theaters. Nightcrawler is one of the best movies of the year, featuring an excellent performance from Jake Gyllenhaal as a creepy but compelling go-getter who explores the seedy underbelly of crime scene videography in L.A. Gone Girl is David Fincher's meticulous and unsettling adaptation of Gillian Flynn's popular crime novel, starring Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. And John Wick is a stylish and often witty action movie featuring Keanu Reeves as a determined assassin. That's a look at what's now in theaters. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
There's 1,000 pretty women living down there. They're all living the devil we care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now
is you.
Is nobody.
I should be saying that. Welcome back to Cats at the Dish. This is Tricia McCrone, and today we're interviewing a very, very special man. Just so happens to be the other half of the show. The strikingly handsome.
The other 40%.
Extremely witty. Or as they said on one of those Bachelor shows, I'm like 80-40 on which one I'm going to go with.
Oh, God. There's a Geechee Guy joke. Geechee
they
tells
actually
a joke.
Said that.
Oh, God. What is it, the Geechee Guy? Students in... let's see, 2,000 out of 20,000 students in Clark County failed to graduate or failed their math equivalency tests last year. That's almost half. It's a version of that joke.
But it was this girl just looks so innocently in the camera in the bathroom and goes, I don't know which guy I'm going to pick. Right now I'm like 80-40.
I was interviewing a basketball player here in Las Vegas. I'll tell you who it was. It was Keon Clark. He was a star center for UNLV, and he had been suspended
for something to do with the test scores, maybe?
No, it wasn't. That wasn't Keon. That was not Keon. Keon had been suspended, rightfully so, and it was reported about at the time. He'd been in contact unwittingly and unknowingly outside the compliance of the NCAA with an agent, with a sports agent, him and another player from the team, and he was suspended for the first several games of the following season. This was like in 97, I guess it was. And he comes back to the team. And I just moved to Las Vegas. I was covering the UNLV basketball program at the time. And they have this little news conference over at the Thomas and Mack Center. at the Cy Red Room, of all places. And they sit Keon down. And Keon was a mercurial player, and he was a massive talent, but he was just a different kind of guy. He's always been a different individual. 6'11", could jump out of the world. I don't know how much he loved playing basketball, but he was the focus of a lot of agent activity at the time. And he comes back after being suspended. He's coming back to the team, and we're asking him, Keon, how does it feel? You know, what's you know, to be back with the team? And he goes, man, ever since I had my suspension and had time to think, my life and my career has turned around 360 degrees. You're like,
which leads you right back where you started.
Is that really what we want? I think anything but 360 is what, anyway. I don't know.
Oh, I'm 80 on 40 whether I get that. No, I'm kidding. So now, Cats, I'm going to, you know, are you starting to get nervous about what I'm going to ask?
No.
Are you single? Who do you look? What do you look for in a girl? What's your sign?
Now that does make me nervous.
I was just about to say, I was trying to surprise
that
you a little
bit. That does. That always makes me nervous.
Basically,
especially when my mother asked me.
Oh, well, there you go.
Your mother.
There's so much I could say on that topic, being your friend for so long, but I'm going to realize that you could say a lot of things about me as well, so I'm going to keep it to myself.
It's the Cold War.
There you go. We want to stay friends after this. But you have had some incredible interviews, which we just not have had. We haven't had time to talk about them at all on the show. But one that I'm extremely interested in, because let's face it, he's a big deal here in Las Vegas, is the one and only Mr. Steve Wynn.
Yes. Steve Wynn is bringing a show called Showstoppers into the Encore Theater, which was originally home to Avenue Q.
Yes. And, wow. God, that seems like forever ago.
I know,
doesn't
right?
It?
Right when the hotel opened. And you know, the original plan over there was to have another theater. It was to have the theater that has Le Rev, what's the Encore Theater now, and a third theater that
was
be...
a lot of people thought wouldn't make after the first, after the day it opened, it did not, was not well received. It's gone through
Le Rev?
A lot of changes.
Le Rev is being overhauled right now. That's another thing happening right now, by the way, is they're putting in a new scene that has to do with fire and water. It's a water plane that is engulfed in flames.
Wow.
And simultaneously, and performers apparently are walking through this, and it's a $3 million scene that they're adding into Le Rev.
Wow.
And a show that has come so far.
Yeah, because, I mean, people walked out of the opening. Like, I mean, if you thought that one
Elaine
show was
Wynn
not
yeah,
that
show.
Was not going to make it, it was Le Rev. I mean, when it first opened, it was just critically panned by everyone that was there, and then they just kept redoing it, and it's come so far.
Franco Dragone was the original producer and director of it.
Who was with Cirque.
It was Cirque, and developed Celine Dion's show when it opened at the Coliseum. So,
which I never got that the guy was the moon until I think somebody explained it to me.
What, in the...
In the original Celine Dion show?
Oh, the
that
moon
the guy that was in white, the bald guy in white, that he was the moon.
He was supposed to be the moon.
Yeah. I probably saw the show 10 times
well, that's
until
the
someone explained
of
it to me. I think.
Well, that's
I was 80-40 on that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it go.
Anyway,
so anyways, back to Steve Wynn.
I was 80-40 in favor of it. So Steve Wynn is in that backdrop. And the original plan at Wynn Las Vegas was, you know, to have Le Rev and have the Avenue Q production show, which was a critical success but did not do very well at the box office. It was one of the first
funny
example.
Show.
Very funny, very well written. But it was the first example that full-scale Broadway theater might not be a lead pipe cinch in Las Vegas. The third theater, which became convention space, was for Monty Python's Spamalot. So when they pulled Avenue Q out, they came back with Spamalot.
Which, again, I loved.
A great show, too. That did okay, but not great. So they moved Spamalot out, and they recruited Danny Gans from The Mirage, who was a hit that Wynn had built the theater for at The Mirage when he owned that, and was a more proven box office commodity. He came over. Danny subsequently tragically passes away. That theater goes to Garth Brooks.
Yes, who only did a few. It wasn't the schedule that Danny had. It was
yeah,
a more
it
limited
was a,
schedule.
It was a more limited and more restricted schedule. Yeah, more restricted show, but another.
Please. I mean, phenomenal. I think when
the one night we went,
it was over 3 hours, the show. And it just, I mean, it was, I never knew that one
I'll
guy sitting
what,
there could just slay us.
There
so much
are
was
very few people who could have pulled that off. And
it's
Garth
incredible.
Brooks is one of them. I was a believer, and I have never bought Garth Brooks' music. And
same here.
I'll tell you what. So when that ended, and then was looking for something to do in this showroom, in this theater, with that history. At first, he was going after a show called Funhouse. He was going to develop that was a new version of the county fair styled carnival circus show, a more traditional vaudevillian show. And it was they had auditioned for the show. They had top notch writers, and he was involved in it very, very definitively. Invested
several million into it and decided it was not up to snuff. He did a friends and family presentation of it, and it did not go over well. And he said it was unresolved. Yeah, this came out.
So
in this
basically,
interview.
It was, you know, it was all done, and then
yeah, it was about ready
previews,
to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was. It wasn't up to his standards. So we move forward to March of this year. Andrea Hissam Nguyen.
Yes.
Steve Nguyen's wife holds a 50th birthday party for her. And the theme is old Broadway and a Gatsby attire. It's this 300 guests, and he invests $5 million in a party that is co-hosted by Hugh Jackman and Rachel York are the singers in this show. And Hugh Jackman, we all know Rachel York
exactly.
is a massive Broadway star.
Oh, she's incredible.
Star.
We just saw her in Anything Goes. With
right.
Eric Bergen.
Okay. There, yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes. She was Reno Sweeney at Smith Center
yeah.
with Eric Bergen, who then obviously was in Jersey Boys here in Vegas
yeah.
and then went on to do Jersey Boys, the movie with Clint Eastwood.
All that.
And now he's on a show with Taylor Leone. He's on a weekly show on CBS that just got renewed.
Is that right? I did
yes,
not know that.
Yes, he is. He's
okay.
a cast member. Sorry.
Wow. Well, anyway, this is the environment. He has 32...
And I'm thinking George Clooney was not there.
36 dancers and a 32-piece orchestra. I don't believe Clooney was
yeah.
there. And so this... During the development and rehearsal of this show, William Philip McKinley... I always get those mixed up. The great director who was in charge of Spider-Man on Broadway is the person who's putting this show together. And they're on stage with the company, and Steve Nguyen walks in, and they start singing One from a chorus line. One singular
yeah.
sensation.
Phenomenal.
With no music. And they've outfitted the stage as a rehearsal space. Because there's no rehearsal space on the property that would suit these. Because they've got full-length mirrors, and it's not a theater. It's a room, really, on stage that's been retrofitted. They start singing this song, and when the bell hits him, he goes, "We have got to bring a show that has this song in it and songs like it to this theater." And he turns to McKinley, says, "We have got to do this." And McKinley says, "I'm in." I'm in. Phil McKinley says, "I'm in. Whatever
yeah.
you want." $10 million later, in a few months, we have a show called Showstoppers that's going to open and in that theater on December 16th.
Are there any names that are going to
be? We have Randall Keith from Phantom, who's also on a tour with Les Miserables for years, played Jean Valjean and was in the outfit called the Fat Pack.
Yes, a former guest
of the
here. And let me tell you, his
right.
voice. Do you remember
that's
I made
right.
him sing
he,
Bring
he
Him
sang
Home?
He for you, right.
I made him sing that for me because that
yep.
moment when Jean Valjean sings Bring Him Home, and I every time I've seen Les Mis is my favorite, well, other than A Chorus Line, Les Mis is my favorite Broadway show, and tears to my eyes every time,
mm-hmm.
and man, does he slay that song.
He
there's not a dry eye when he
he's
sings
got
it.
Like, not kidding, and Wynn said the same thing, like a Pavarotti power
yeah.
voice. I mean, he
brings you to tears.
He's incredible.
He not only one of those mm-hmm. people that not only has the voice, he has the heart
yeah.
to go with it. That emotion comes through and it gives you the chills.
He talked about his background on the show when he's from a small town in North Carolina, and he didn't have a lot of theater around him, but he had
yeah.
TV, and he saw, you know, performances that way, and eventually grew into a Broadway performer, kind of almost in a way that was self-propelled.
Yeah.
So he's in the show. David Burnham is the other vocalist, and there's a third male vocalist too that we'll know in Las Vegas, and Andrew Dragone, is that his name? No.
Oh, Ragone.
Ragone.
Yes, he was a
Raoul.
Yes, he was Raoul
yeah.
in a Phantom of the Opera
that's
for
right.
years.
Andrew
yes.
was, yeah, that's right, and he was the heartthrob of the show. So he's
yeah.
the third male
Of course
vocalist.
I remember that.
You remember? Carrie O'Malley is one of the female singers, and she's been on TV all over the place. Annabelle, Earth to Echo, in the Terminator Genesis film, and in Boardwalk Empire on TV.
Wow.
She's been a lot
of shows. So there's some
heavy
hitters
yeah,
heavy
in. Hitters. And then we also have Graham Fenton's wife, Nicole Kaplan, has just been cast in Showstoppers to replace Lauren Molina, who left the show. So
and
now,
Graham Fenton is one of the Frankies.
Frankies and one of the Frankies
yeah,
in
him
Jersey
and
Boys.
Travis Clower are the others.
Dave
and another,
Loeb is a music director. Yeah.
Another thing that we saw, too, which by the time this airs, is that will be it's the last week of our former guest, Jeff Lebo, and
Graham.
And
Devin
May.
I mean,
so, yeah.
yeah,
so it's It's a crazy changeover.
They will have left by the time this airs, or about to leave. Yeah. So the cast of Jersey Boys is turning over.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Okay, so now you aside from that, there's other things. There's a lot happening at the Crown Theater. Let's talk about that. Should I quack? Is that what I should do to get attention for this?
If you want to get shot.
Yeah.
You need, what do they call those, the device in Duck Dynasty? It's the master call or whatever.
Exactly. Or Duck it sounds master. Like a fazuzula or whatever it is called during the World Cup.
Yeah.
Fazuzulas.
Yeah, a few years ago when they had it in, where was that? When was it in Brazil? No, when was it when they had the
No, I, all I know is I landed in Madrid, Spain, the day that Spain won the
Spain.
World Cup. And all night I was staying at the main Plaza de Ana, which is where the main celebration was for the entire country. And the Zuzulas were, I never got, and they, of course my luggage, they're like, we won't get your luggage for a few days because of World Cup celebration. I'm like, I'm in a green tracksuit for days and 100. But anyways, so yes. So tell us about what's going on with the Crown.
The Crown Theater is at the Rio, and it is up until early this week, and where it will be the home of MJ Live.
Yes,
the Michael Jackson.
Not
tribute,
to be confused with MJ1,
which
is the Mandalay Circ
Bay.
Show.
Right, yes. Different show, and also the Rat Pack is back.
Which always seems to be back. That never goes away. Have you noticed
There's
that?
There's always a version. The sun never sets on the Rat Pack.
Exactly.
Back. And our friend Lon Bronson has been the MD in that show
for
a while. Yeah, good friend. And it was announced, not announced, but it's been discovered that those shows are going to close on December 30th at about the same time that it was reported in the New York Times originally that a musical based on the TV series Duck Dynasty is coming into the Rio, into that room by February or in February.
So it won't actually have any members of the Robertson family.
That is how it's been presented.
It's been presented as a musical version,
right? A licensed musical adaptation of the TV show Duck Dynasty.
I am so enthralled by just that description that it's crazy enough that I may love that.
Well,
and I don't really watch Duck Dynasty, but the fact that you're going to try to sing Duck Dynasty with these guys, that they're very like homegrown people. I can't imagine them breaking out into song.
You know, it reminds me of like when I was talking to Wynn. He's a big fan of the musical and the film Lil Abner. I mean, you remember the comics
Lil
Abner?
Yeah.
This might be the upgraded version of Lil Abner.
I can't remember the beards and stuff like breaking out, unless it's like Book of Mormon-ish. I can't expect. I'm having a hard time.
Well, when it's licensed, I don't know how.
They're not going to be. Yeah, they won't be making.
Because the thing about Book of Mormon, you saw it. That thing was ruthless.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny, but
I still love how many ads that the Mormon Church took out. In
the whole thing was great.
In the book, you saw the play. Now read the book.
I wonder how that worked out for him.
It was brilliant, and there was like 10. I mean, it was like they spent more money on ads.
Yeah, you'd
flip
through and you'd see different a whole cross section of
cultures represented. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah,
now,
so look out for that because that hasn't been signed yet. So there's a lot of interplay about all that happening in there. But the Crown Theater is going to be the center of some activity, and there's also rumors that whole hotel is going to be sold by Caesars Entertainment. That's been going on.
Yeah, there's
for
been
months.
A whole thing going on with Caesars Entertainment as of late, as far as like them having financial issues.
Yeah.
Are they going to make big changes?
They have financial issues, and they're probably going to have to make big changes somehow to account for their debt. And what it all means, they're probably going to – it looks like the coverage has been that they're heading toward bankruptcy protection.
Which is not – they having to sell everything off. That's just kind of where they just
Other
make a deal and they have time.
This.
Yeah, they have time to fix their situation.
Yeah, they're given – you get to stop the clock. And that's – Station Casinos went through that, went in and out.
It's not strange to do. It's not saying like, oh, God, they're losing the hotels, nothing like that.
Yeah, but what they're going to maybe have to do is liquidate some of their hotels.
Yeah, and the Rio would make sense since it's kind of off the strip.
And it's one that they picked up later. In the company as opposed to Caesar's Palace, which is the kind of cornerstone of it. So there's the Rio, and Duck Dynasty would conceivably, it coexist with Chippendales. They would coexist with Penn and Teller on that theater. They've got the King's Room, which has Eddie Griffin, the comic, and X-Rock's topless show. So there's an interesting future. 2015 is going to be very interesting at the Rio, especially the Crown,
Now, there's already things going on with one of our newest hotels, the SLS.
SLS is bringing in Steve Angelo, the star DJ, and previously over Halloween they brought in for the first time Rehab, his name is.
He used to be at Rain, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it was Rain, and he was also over at Hakkasan for a period of time. And I actually
interviewed
him.
Not to get too confused from Rehab and the Hard Rock.
No, right, yes, which is a, which yeah, is the totally pool scene. Yes. That's a good point.
It's very the whole. You know, I need to be more up on the DJs.
Well, I think, you know what? It's interesting because I've had to, you know, I hate to say pinch my nose, but I have had to accept interviewing
changing
them.
Changing entertainment. Yeah, because they have built as many billboards now as, you know, headliners.
They're on, Tiesto shares the building with David Copperfield.
Yeah.
And he's also in the water show at the Bellagio now. They have a song. And I've got to meet him and talk to him during the unveiling of it. And I'll tell you this, you know, my musician friends and my people in my life who are real artists, and there are quite a few of them, whether singers or musicians, singer-songwriters, whatever they do, dance, really detest in most cases the DJ culture because it's not that – they don't consider these people artists. But as Tiesto says, we might not be creating Mozart, but this is something we've taken technology – and most of them started at a very early age, laptop, and created music and sounds that can move an audience. And these – say what you want about the art. These guys – draw a huge number of people.
Oh, unbelievable. I was at Sundance last year, and I am talking the amount of people that were so – I think the Blues Travelers are playing or something, and people – all they wanted to hear was Cascade.
Yeah.
And I'm like
– Right.
You all – I mean, I guess that when we saw Madonna, they opened – was it Calvin Harris, I think, opened for Madonna. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, everybody in the EDM life. That I think it was somebody like that opened for Madonna on tour. Like that was the opening act.
Yeah, I don't think it was Harris. It was somebody else, but it was a DJ, and a DJ opened for Lady Gaga also.
Yeah,
And they're coming into the mainstream.
We can't deny it, especially here in Vegas with the dance clubs. I guess, you know, and also, but to be fair to us, that we are not the demographic that hangs out. I mean, there was a time when we were. I mean, we're not the type of people that are like, oh, I'm going to go and get bottle service and sit in a club all night. We have dinners and we go to lounges and we go to shows. And we, you know, as you get older, you're when you're not 20, you don't really want to hang out.
This hits to something Wynn said himself. Yeah. You know, we had this conversation where he said, I asked him about the nightclub. I said, there's going to be no crossover in Showstopper's audience and night and excess. He goes, none. And he asked me, he turned around, he goes, how long do you have your staying power in a nightclub? And I go, well, when it's Nick Hissom's birthday, I have 30 minutes because that's his stepson.
Yeah.
He's had two birthday parties there. And he goes, well, you got me beat by 10. Me and
there
Andrew,
you go.
20. And that's, he owns it. And he goes, and I do incredible business in there, John. Incredible.
Yeah. And, no, it's true. But, it's just, I mean, it's a different, I hate to say it's a different generation, but a little bit it is. But I have to say, as
it's
I did
rock
something.
And roll,
yeah, exactly.
Like it was in the 50s.
In a little bit of a turn is for the first time I went to go see this past weekend, The Dirty with our friend.
Frankie Perez.
Frankie Perez, who we've had on the show, who is phenomenal in every way, and he's not giving me any insight into how Sons of Anarchy ends. I really want that. And I know he knows.
They do the music for
Sons of Anarchy. But he has this group called The Dirty at Saturday nights at the Rocks Lounge, and it's for $5 for locals, I think is what I, you know, it's so reasonable. And I have to tell you, it was drinking club soda. Cannot say I was like drinking, so maybe I was not hearing the music. The band is incredible. The horn section, everything. But on top of that, the people viewing there was beyond. It was like Cirque du Soleil. We didn't know where to turn. I was with Seth Udoff, Erica, and our dear friend Stephanie Sanchez, the singer Stephanie. And I swear, we had people. I mean, it was one of the most fun nights I can remember having in Vegas without a sip of alcohol either.
Yeah.
And so it is, incredible. Go see it. It's so much fun Saturday nights.
Perez does Wednesdays at the Tuscany with his other band, The Truth. Tuesday nights, it's Zoe Bowie's Devil Deluxe act, also at the Tuscany. And Monday night, I will plug Rocky Brown and her band at the Tuscany.
Yeah, and also then Friday night, we always have to say Zoe Bowie.
And Zoe Bowie out of Red Rock on Friday. So there you have it.
Thanks, Katz. You're a really
interview.
Good guest.
Thank
I loved
you.
It. I wasn't hard on you at all.
Lovely.
And who are you dating? Oh, thanks for listening, guys. See you next week.
We love Las Vegas. We love